This is gonna be a curveball. Helena, this time you do the intro because I can barely speak.
Okay, we got this. Welcome to Design Party Podcast, your one-stop shop for everything design related. I am still not Antonia, I'm Helena, and you're getting a curveball episode because Antonia is a bit sick, but still made time to do this. And of course, Vitaly is with us. So, hi everyone.
Hi.
Hello.
So nice to be at the same place, at the same time recording podcast. I will try my best to facilitate this episode, but dear listeners, I have COVID day 5 and I'm not feeling my best, but I'm okay enough to like just talk into microphone a little bit. Anyways, what were we talking before we actually pressed record? We were discussing bachelors and then something else. Vitaly, remind us.
Master.
Well,
sorry.
Yeah, no, I was talking about my elation at the fact that I am almost done with my master's program, going to be graduating at the end of next month. While I'm teaching a course on service design at the same institution I'm graduating from. So it's education is a wonderful, complicated world. But one thing that's been on my mind has been this drama regarding Linus Tech Tips or Linus Tech Tips. I remember watching some videos at some point and every now and then hearing someone refer to their videos. But what do you folks know about this situation and about LTT in general?
Helena, do you watch this channel?
No, the only thing that I know is what you told me. I mean, I am aware of it because it's been around for forever. I started to notice there's some drama happening because I saw headlines and then, oh, they're coming out and this is stuff happening in the background. But I honestly didn't bother to check until you two started talking about it. So I got updated. I'm not too fazed because I simply don't care about it, which sounds stupid, but it's not something that I use because I don't really watch videos. I hate videos. So it's not my preferred type of content. And yeah, that's basically all I have to say about this. I'm very, very elated to hear what you two think about it because I think you have more to say about it.
Sure. Well, I did follow up with the news. Like previous years, I loved LTT. And I watched many videos while I was working, you know, just to have this background noise. Sometimes they would have like a interesting video. But over the years, I started to watch less and less because I simply didn't like the persona of Linus, the creator of the whole thing. He just seemed to me like egotistical maniac, kind of, you know, bad boss type of a person. And some allegations surfaced recently that might even confirm that. They were sloppy with their data. Gamers Nexus completely obliterated their charts. They found so many mistakes, it's really embarrassing. And there is this YouTuber that joined the team like a few years ago called Madison, if I'm not mistaken. I remember watching one of her videos. She's super fun. I really love that one. Her first video, I think it was. And recently on Twitter, she started to, you know, bring out dirty laundry, how they behaved towards her. There was like sexual misconduct and offensive words. And girl even cut her leg in order to get to ER, so she would get a free day. I'm just gonna say that. So it doesn't sound really good at all. Vitaly, what do you think?
Yeah, the things that are coming out is really crazy. And I think that there is, of course, this like arc to YouTube creators where in the beginning there's this emphasis, I think, more on quality and getting it right. And then the more it becomes about chasing the algorithm and the views and the growth, the more and more these things are sacrificed, even after the point where it's useful, because I can understand you're wanting, you know, first out the gate, first mover advantage and all of these things. But once you establish yourself, you're going to only harm yourself if you continue doing it the way that you did to get to that point. Like, the whole idea of, like, you know, business creators who pinch every penny, but then they continue that until they're, you know, even past the point of being a multimillionaire and whatnot. So I think it's really disturbing the things that have come out. I think they warrant a lot of attention, and hopefully there could be a bit of a Me Too movement within the IT industry slash space, because with Blizzard, we've heard the accusations. I mean, Gamergate was never really resolved. There's so much misogyny and abuse generally towards workers, but of course, minorities and women getting the worst of it. And I think that it's very important to practice this type of, you know, disinfection with sunlight type of thing, where I really believe that once you reach a certain point, organizations should have mandates for more transparency and more responsibility. Otherwise, what's the point?
What's the point? Yeah, that's a good question. But it seems to me that all these growing companies, they reached a certain point, and it seems that they stop caring. Like, mistakes happen. They would just, you know, do this with their hand, like, whatever, and just continue. And they will still have people that pay them, follow them, bring them money. Nothing changes. So I think in today's world, there is zero accountability for companies. Seriously.
I agree, but I don't think that's the point of view. I don't think that they don't care. I think that they just don't know better. They are still the same people they were when they started. So Linus is probably still the same guy mentally that started his channel with like two or three people. And then the two or three people became 30, 40, I don't know how many. And it's just difficult when you have more responsibilities, but you didn't grow into them. They're just now here. And now you, with the same personality, need to be better, but you are not. So that's why with all of the early founders for startups, they just stay in the company for some visibility, but they actually hire people who know how to do the job on the level that it's now required. So I don't think that it's necessarily malicious for those reasons just to be mean. I mean, none of that is good. We've all been in, I don't know, you're out with your friends and then you're just joking and messing around and throwing some shit, and it's good fun, but you cannot translate that to a workplace, which is something that's happening right here. So everybody is being too casual on levels that they're not supposed to be as casual anymore. True. And I think they're just not growing enough as their companies.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you summarized it quite nicely. Yeah, because there was some audio from their internal meeting that surfaced where it was like, I don't know the details, I'm now paraphrasing at best, like harassment training or something like that. Obviously against harassment training. And how to harass your workers training.
You dumbass. You stupid dumbass. Did I do it right?
One of the prominent faces of that channel made actually like a sexual joke. It was really inappropriate. Yes, you can say like, haha, it was a joke. But the point is, like, if he thinks that this is okay, that's the level, that's the best baseline, what they have there. It tells a lot. It reveals a lot more than they think. It's a little bit concerning, but I hope that whoever was wronged will get some justice, because it's really disgusting what happened. I don't know if it's true or not, but why would she lie 2 years after it happened? Definitely. She gets nothing.
I actually liked one of the tidbits inside of the tweet thread.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's still called like that. Where she said that she checked very much with the lawyers if she's allowed to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Because her contract, blah, 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 something, something. So according to the contract, she was allowed to talk about things like this because some verbiage. So it's good to know your rights. But I wanted to say something else. I really like that things like these are surfacing, because it brings a light to red flags. And maybe sometimes you're in an interview for a company that's really laid back, really chill and something, And then if you hear a comment that you don't like, maybe consider not working for those people, because if that's a comment that they tell to a person on their first impression, maybe that's not a good place to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I feel more people like speaks up and, you know, laundry gets out for world to see, it's better for everyone, because then we're not just, you know, they're not exchanging people, just taking in new ones and used ones, you know, tossing out like toys.
Yeah.
That way there is some sort of consequences in question. But anyway, how about we talk about the topic of today that we agreed? How to make time for learning, or something like that, right?
Yeah, I think that one thing I would really love to hear from you two is, what do you even consider learning, right? Is, because we're talking probably the learning that happens outside the application of our skills within the context of work, right? So are we talking like about deciding like, hey, I am now practicing this skill, or is it randomly browsing Reddit and Product Hunt and then finding something that like, ooh, this is cool, and then digging into it, kind of like what I have recently with Reloom Library that I was kind of showing before we started recording. So how do you think of learning, and what does it, how do you practice it?
Well, it depends what we're talking about here. Helena can jump in. When you say learning, I'm thinking about learning new skill or upgrading existing skill. I don't think browsing Reddit, by the way, I don't do that because there was a drama with Reddit as well.
Yeah, we kind of skipped over that. I'm not using Reddit anymore as well.
yeah, we totally skipped that because we didn't record during summer that much, so we didn't have time to rehash it. Maybe we can do that some other time, or maybe it's too late. Who knows? But yeah, what do you think, Helena? Like,
I definitely agree. It depends what we are talking about. I had huge, huge issues with that. I think I even brought it up in one of the previous episodes when we were a couple of years now back, because for me, I feel like learning and staying in the loop is very important. You have so much work. You have this project, that project, this client, this job, this something to do. And you just don't have time to do anything. You don't have time to read. You don't have time to follow blogs or anything. So I felt very out of the loop constantly. And I was feeling like I'm wasting my time on this project. And I'm literally just rotting as a designer. I'm not doing anything new. Look at all of the cool new things that just pass by me. And I don't know anything about them. So I felt very bad, but then I decided to take things a bit easy on me. And what I did, I unsubscribed from a bunch of newsletters. I left, I think, one or two, UX tools and Sidebar. And that's something that I still use. If there's anything interesting, I read it. If there's not anything interesting, I just read the headlines. For the other things, like you said, Vitaly, I really like browsing Product Hunt and seeing, oh, that's a cool new thing. I'm just going to open it up and see what they did with the design, what they did with the way the product is shaped, something. So looking at new products and seeing how they work and how they're designed and presented is something I consider learning.
Like a maintenance?
Yeah, definitely. I went so far that I have a calendar time blocked off on my calendar, which is called reading, but it's mostly for anything that I can do to, in this time block, I do something to learn something new. So if it's a blog or something, I read it, or books. I also like reading books. I think I found a couple of good places to get design books. I think it's called Rutledge Books, if I'm not mistaken.
I have one story with the book that is happening to me right now, if anyone is up for a little side story.
No, that's not the one. Okay, I will look up the books that I was talking about. But wait, one more thing. I also discovered one cool thing app that's on your works as a plugin, works as an app on your tablet or phone. It's called Readwise, and basically it's a really, really cool reader. I like it, and you can save things to that. You can highlight things, then it kind of AI summarizes things for you. It's really enjoyable to use.
I think I just got newsletter from them like just yesterday or something like that. Have you heard of Artifact?
I've been using that, the AI news app.
Yeah, it has like this little star asterisk as a logo.
I didn't, but I have it bookmarked somewhere to look at it.
But don't you all think that it's a little bit like we talked about in the beginning about LTT drama, and it all happened. One huge reason for that is they just wanted to be too productive. You can't have like 30 plus videos per week. That's just insane and stupid, and people die. It's not normal. So I have a feeling that we do that on our personal level. Like we pump our brain with new information, new content, and then we have a little burnout like at one point of the year, a little depression kicks in, we question our existence and our career, and then it kind of goes to the beginning and another loop happens and years pass and stuff like that. I feel I don't want to learn. I just want to get the hell away from computer and not think about anything. Mm. Who is with
me? Well, I do have to put what you're saying through the filter of that, like, Antonia, you are going through some cycles of your own of thinking, like, what do I want to do when I grow up, you know, and this type of thing that, like, because the reason why I ask, what do you consider learning, is because I find it very difficult to draw lines. Because sometimes I'm listening to like the Future podcast or some other design podcast, and I get these like light bulb moments, and I feel that like, wow, now I'm approaching this thing differently, or I hear about some new like approach in workshopping or facilitating or an angle. I remember once I was just having like a sales meeting, and then someone said that like, yeah, you know, like I've started to pivot that instead of starting workshops by listing principles for psychological safety, I make it into an exercise that even though I know you're like the five that I really want to get in there, I say like, hey, what are some good ground rules that we should all agree to before we begin? And thus making it interactive instead of just like, here, do we all agree that these are important? And then like how much of an effect that had. And that like was a light bulb moment. It's like, wow. And so I feel that like learning is so integral in how I am living my life and operating as a designer. Like when I'm planning new workshops or creating new educational products or starting a new project, like how to do the team kickoff or how do I do retrospectives? Like everything is an opportunity for learning something new. But I'm also the kind of person who doesn't really cook the same recipe twice. I always adjust some kind of little things just to see how it affects stuff. But so this master's that I did, my thesis was research. So I talked with senior designers and I also did a survey for designers of all levels. And one of the questions I had was on a scale from 1 to 5, 1 being insignificant and 5 being super important. I asked, how important do you find learning to be in your work as a designer? And 85% people said 5, you know, the highest number possible, like super critical, super important. And I'm sure they would have selected 10 if they could have. So I think that one of the results that I got from this was that a lot of people, when they're younger, they talk more about online courses and about these like online materials. But the more senior people were, the more they would talk about work, like mentorship, about attending, like committing to classes where they pay money and go through the process, and also about learning with people. And there was this interesting like meta theme that I noticed throughout the research, was that like the frustration and the youth, like the unknowing, focuses around individual performance and about this like start stop A to B type of thing. But then the experience and the high quality things that people really enjoyed was the more communal, the more human facing removed from technology it was. And I think that this is a really interesting trend that I think we can all easily agree to, that the more human-like and natural it feels, the more pleasant it is and the more we feel we get out of it, whether that's about learning or doing design itself at work.
Any idea why that might be?
Because we're people.
We're human.
No, like, how come... I have assumptions.
You're a social creature.
But yeah.
You like social stuff.
Well, you don't know my life.
But honestly, let's face it. We do this for a reason. Like, we talk about design stuff in our own free time. And it's to share our experiences with other people. Because while doing this, we're also growing and learning something from each other. And also learning from our audience. So this is also learning, but we're trying to share something, and this is like a type of mentorship because we enjoy it.
Agreed. But I was more thinking, why does it happen when we are younger, like in our 20s, that we are focusing on these like hard skills,
yeah,
completely dismissing soft
them?
Skills?
What? You don't have the hard skills and they're easier to reach. And generally with hard skills, you get to see good progress and you get to feel the progress, so you're getting more of the direct feedback about them. And then once you have the hard skills, you get to apply some finesse of the soft skills. I was actually quite surprised. So last year I'm teaching, I would say they're around 20 or something. And I mentioned the concept of hard skills versus soft skills. They actually never heard about that. And then I said about some hard skills, these are hard skills, these are soft skills, which ones do you think you have more? And they were all more focused on getting the hard skills because that's something that can get them hired. And then I said, okay, that can get you hired, sure, but you're going to stand out with the soft skills. So, I mean, yeah. It's difficult, but your focus changes as you mature as a person and as a designer.
Yeah.
True.
And I suppose it's also like the hard skills are the things that we see, right? They produce the outcomes. So it's kind of like when if you want to get into, and I'm about to say something I know very little about, but like fashion design, you know, you're thinking about fabrics, you're thinking about making all these sweet cuts, but then I'm sure there's a lot about networking, about finding, you know, understanding so many things that relate to the industry and the work, but don't involve cutting fabrics to put on people's bodies, you know?
I wish we would have some fashion designer to talk about this, how it works.
Yeah, if we only had someone.
Like photography, you know, you start off, you're thinking about the lenses, the cameras, but then how much are you thinking about posing and about creating the environment and conceptualizing, you know, like there's always so much that goes into it, but I feel that hard skills are like the gateway drug that get people to realize like, oh my God, there's so much more to this work than just the pixels.
And also, yeah. Sorry, Helena, please go ahead.
I just wanted to say about the soft skills, not a lot of people tell you about the soft skills. It's something that you have to come up with yourself or have a good mentor that's willing to share. But I don't know, as I was growing up, people don't share stuff like that because it's knowledge. And if I have the knowledge, then I am a threat. Why would I share the knowledge? So I hope that we are coming into some space, or that's at least what my approach is with mentoring and with teaching. I like to share my resources. I like to say, this is something that helped me while I was in your spot. So I like to bring attention to that. I don't know if that's the current trend, but I really hope it is and that it should be.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something, but then I forgot.
Oh.
What did I
want? Did
it was
to say
good.
Something about fashion?
No. This is internal joke. Let's see who gets it. If you get it, we will give you something in future, like whenever we will have something
merch
to buy.
Yes.
I don't know, like workshop or something. I'm just like spitballing right here. I don't know what I wanted to say. It's really hard. My brain is completely... foggy, my chest hurts, Corona is really kicking my ass, I'm sweating like a pig over here. Oh.
No. Well, if I, let me try to kind of wrap up a little bit about my research with the learning stuff. So the main thing that is not a hard skill that people really focused on learning were soft skills like collaboration, communication, and facilitation. Like, these are so critical. I think that still, if you're not in the design world, you might still have this idea that design is about the artist, the visionary who says, oh, you do not know anything, this is how we should do it. And that is so far from the reality. And it's so much about working with people, about problem solving, about bringing people together and making the implicit explicit in order to identify what we need to focus on and creating consensus. And I think that it's quite natural that you might come in with this idea of like, well, I have a really nice sense of style. I can make some things look what I think are aesthetic that, you know, 10 years from now, you look at it and you know, like just grimace in horror of how unaesthetic it is to your updated sense of style. And you come in with all this ego and pompous, and maybe you have a vision, maybe you have some idea of how these things should be, but you quickly realize how much it's about the technical limitations, about stakeholder management and conflicting interests. And then you start understanding that like, hey, if I really want to make an impact, I need to be able to work well with these people. And if I really want to know for sure, was this a good idea or not, I need to interface with the people. And through this kind of like, you know, you come in as this jagged rock and you go into the grinder with all these other rocks and you come out smooth as a pebble.
Yeah, and also I remembered what I wanted to say. Not everyone starts from the same level when it comes to soft skills. Some are just like, you know, social butterflies, really work great with people. Some are introverts and like dislike dealing with people. So it's actually quite different journey for different people. Some never even take the journey. I personally realized like years ago, like when I entered my 30s, that I should focus more now on soft skills rather than hard skills because I have those enough. But when it comes to soft skills, if I ever wanted to like be a manager or, I don't know, leading a team or something, I should be a good person. I should be able to listen. I should be able to lead in a way that people like and not resent and then leave the company. I don't want to be guilty of that. And also, when you talk with your colleagues, you want to be perceived as pleasant and collaborative and, you know, easy to work with rather than, you know, conflictive and rude and like pure ass. But yeah, maybe that realization happens in different like times for different people. Maybe some people realize that quite early, some never, some a bit later. But I think everyone gets to the point where they're like, well, this is not working for me. I need to change, or companies, like something needs to change here. This is not working well for me. Yeah. But talking about making time for learning, I actually have a problem with that right now. I have very limited time and I have this big hunger to learn 3D. And also I need to learn Finnish. So I have like these competing skills constantly and no time for it. What should I do?
Tip number one, tips? Do not try to learn 3D in Finnish.
We'll not do that for sure.
That's great advice. I would say, honestly, the time block thing works wonders for me. It's like I have a meeting with myself. I have to do this right now because it's going to improve me and it's something that I really want. So just block off the time.
Well, you see, 3D I really want. Finnish I really don't want.
Finnish you have to. Maybe, yes. Is there a way to gamify the Finnish? Could you maybe possibly talk to the people in your life in Finnish?
Well, I mean, sure. At this point, I tried anything and everything. My last attempt was with ChatGPT, which proved to be very effective.
Really?
Yeah, because... there are like different ways how people learn languages, for example. Some never learn syntax. They just learn words. This is more suitable for people with lower education. Like, they don't need to understand. They just need to memorize. For people with higher education, usually that approach doesn't really work because we seek for something else. I seek syntax, rules, origins, stories. Like, I need to know why. Like, if I don't understand precisely what's happening in a sentence, I'm not happy. Like, this is not working. I will not remember anything. It will bug me forever. So I'm not sure. Maybe I'm learning even slower because of that. But ChatGPT has been helping me to craft like these one pagers, like cheat sheets for endings, because Finnish language, it's all about the endings that they have in certain situations.
Like
what?
Or a band name.
Yeah.
It's all about the endings.
All about the endings. Oh, I just inhaled. I'm Finn. Finn's inhale words.
I mean, I always like to say more is more when it comes to learning. So definitely gamifying it, finding ways to integrate it in your life. Like watch your favorite movies with Finnish subtitles, you know, this type of thing. What I did when I was living in Tanzania and in Spain to learn language, because I mean, I've tried to learn languages like in school when they taught. I did 4 years of French. The only thing I can tell you is je ne parle pas français. And like with the, like immersing yourself into the environment is a wonderful first step. So you already got that out of the way, you know, check. What I do is that I have, like, I try to find a book that's really good to practice, like that I'm enjoying, that it resonates with me, right? And Finnish sucks with this. There's so many technical approaches. Like, I don't know all the 26 different ways you can conjugate a word. Like, it's a vibe thing. Kind of like how in English there's an order to adjectives. You know, you say the big red beautiful balloon, not the beautiful balloon red or whatever, right? Like, there's an order and it's implicit. We just feel it. And with language, it can be like that as well. But I think that, you know, language is neither right nor wrong. The only languages that don't change are the dead languages that no one ever speaks anymore. So it's more important to be able to communicate. And we do need to get over our desire for meaning and perfectionism. Because if I say, like, you know, throat hurt, water need, like...
this is how I speak Finnish.
Exactly, but that's good because speaking leads to improvement, not speaking leads to worsening. It's like a muscle, like anything else. But so the idea that I just want to get across, that how I gamified language for myself, is that I would have my like notepad, and on the front side of it, I would do my exercises, do my notes from this learning resource that I have chosen to go through. But on the other side of it, I have sentences that if I'm like, hey, how do you say, like, I want to be able to say, how do you get downtown? I would write that in English, and then I would ask at least two, preferably three people, hey, how do you say this in language X? Because they might say it in different ways. Because one person might say, you know, you say it like this, the other person might say, do it, it's like this. And then asking, but this person said it like this, why did you say it differently? It could really help, you know? So create a resource for yourself, because soon then you will have many pages of things that you can just recite, you know? So whatever two things you choose, just, I think, ChatGPT, watching movies, talking, reading, writing, whatever
podcasts.
You can do, do it.
I like to talk with Kassa people in stores.
They can't run away.
Oh my God. It's great. I learned so much in stores. They're the best people. I have like super cool anecdotes from like a month ago or something. I was buying, I think, cigarettes or something like that. Kids, don't smoke. This is really bad, okay? You will get
it
corona
and
die. And I kept Finnish. And she was asking me something in Finnish, like the size of a package. And I was not asked that before, like for a long time. So I got a little bit like confused. But I kept responding in Finnish. And she understood. And then she came back and we did the whole exchange in Finnish and it was done. And then when it was done, I like to goof around. So I said like, "Ooh, now that's over." And then she switched to English immediately. Really good one, if I can notice. She was like, "It was really good. Like, good job. Like, excellent. Just like keep it going like that." I was like, oh my God, she understood the challenge and she played with me. It's so nice when people want
cute
to do that for you. And also, I had another experience. I went to pharmacy. See, you smoke and then you go to pharmacy. I had to get some prescription or something. And just as I was sitting down, like going to a chair, at that moment I decided I'm going to do this in Finnish. And there was some older lady behind the desk. And I said... Minulla on resepti, and I gave her my Kela card. Basically, I said I have like prescription, and I gave this like card that we have in Finland. They need to scan, and she immediately like I could see in her eyes that she was like amused a little bit. She noticed the accent, and she continued to play. She understood that we are playing now. She was very slow. She was talking like this and asking very slowly, using only official words and language and grammar. And I did it. It was like the whole conversation went in Finnish, and then we were like both happy, like, yay!
Good job.
So
that's
that's
good. Practicing is very important. And I'm very happy that Finland is actually so supportive of people learning the language and trying to come in and become a part of the community. It's great.
Well, it's black and white.
Lately. I know about the laws and everything, but this sounds all of it sounds positive.
Well, to be quite honest, most people I met or encountered here were, you know, this friendly. Like they will, they hear you and they want to play. Like they will continue. They will not switch. Like most of people, for example, sometimes I go to this gas station because it's the closest store that I have to my apartment. And I don't want to walk too much for something small. And they also sell like salads and stuff. And girl knows that works there, knows that I speak English. So she would just greet me with, hey, like, hello. But I would be like, moi, blah, 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 something. She would switch to Finnish immediately because she knows that I'm practicing. And I think people here understand that. And in most cases, they will just play along and go with you and like, yeah, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. But yeah, but anyways, I don't want to hog this conversation about Finnish. I want to hear you two. What did you try to learn, or what are you learning right now? Who wants to go first? Are you learning anything?
I am currently learning French, and what? I am deciding to renew my love of colors, and I kind of lined up a couple of books on colors because I really, really enjoy colors as a topic, and then the chemical part of it, the physical part of it, the design part of it, the artist part of it, everything. It's been a passion of mine that I kind of let go for the past 3 or 4 years, and now I'm just enjoying it again, and it's fun.
But that sounds really nice. Maybe you can teach me something about colors later. Sure. That'd be good to know since I'm a designer. Yes. Vitaly, are you learning something?
Well, where do I begin? Yeah, I think AI is definitely like a big theme that I keep prodding around. There's always all these new tools. It's definitely something I'm following and try almost on a daily basis. I'm really focused on my teaching pedagogy. Like, I'm really trying to challenge myself to create even clearer instructions, even better educational resources. I've been learning my academic writing while I did my thesis. And of course, with exercise, you know, I'm always trying to get something. I injured my shoulder a little bit because I didn't warm it up enough when I went climbing in May. And I'm still paying the price, so I'm learning how to rehabilitate myself. Yeah, still on my journey on mastering the muscle up. So that's kind of like what I'm trying to learn physical-wise. Language-wise, I was learning Swahili and Spanish a little bit, but I just don't have time for it. I've kind of left that currently on the shelf. But now that I have my thesis out of the way, the next thing I'm going to be challenging while using AI is how to use AI tools to make a lyrics music video. And that's been very interesting, trying the latest tools and combining it with actual hard work, manual work. So a little bit of everything.
Well, that sounds exhausting.
Well, it would be if it felt like work. I think that that's the one thing, you know, life as play, it's very important. It's the, are you swimming in the ocean, or are you paddling to try to stay afloat and not drown? And I think that it's very important when you start feeling like you're trying to survive to really detach and to reset. But it's very hard because we live in a world that keeps pushing us forward, but we need to learn how to activate our relaxing receptors and to learn to listen to our body, to find the signals before we get to the burnout phase, to detach, relax, and not feel guilty about it.
I mean, that's fine. And I've been mulling over that topic quite a lot recently. The abundance of people perceiving, I don't know, being successful online, like having their courses, their workshops, their shit, the selling, like this and that. Like at one point, a couple of months ago, I totally let go. I'm like, I just, like, there are better things in life. Like, just let it go.
And it's good to remember that a lot of these people who are saying that in order to be successful, you need to do da-da-da-da, which is basically what they're doing, that they're the only reason there's, like, their success is telling people how to do what they're doing, basically. It's really sad.
But at the same time, seeing all these people doing something, you know, tangible, like, sellable online, I feel that I am a bit lagging behind, that I'm, like, missing out on something.
Yeah.
I don't know how you two feel.
I don't know. There's a lot of time to get there. But like I said, I'm trying very, very hard to separate my design life from my life, because design at one point has become my life. And I just let it, everything I did, for example, other people scroll Instagram, I would scroll Instagram, but everything was design. Or I would just scroll LinkedIn for fun, because it's fun. I really, really enjoy the work. And I definitely need time to not work, because I'm always, always working. For example, recently we got into downhill mountain biking, and then I'm just like riding down a mountain. It's the funnest thing ever. So and cool. In my mind, a thing pops up. This would be so fun. Like if I could attach a GoPro on me and then I could talk about design, and I would be like driving, riding down the mountain and talking about design, and that would be so fun. And I'm like, but that's not the point, dude. You're supposed to enjoy this, not think constantly about design. So mostly all of the things that I focus on outside of work, I try to keep them not work related.
That's smart. That's healthy.
Well, working on it.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. And this, like, you know, the triggers we feel from the outside world, like I was watching this very interesting video yesterday about, like, when authentic people meet narcissists, what happens, you know? And so in the video, they talk about that according to, like, sociological research, like, the idea of an authentic person is someone who's centered in themselves, who feels all right. And they don't really need anything from the world. Like, things might happen, they might hear all kinds of disturbance, but they'll feel like, oh, what's going on with them? Rather than like, oh, how did I create this situation, you know, type of thing. And I think that that's the most valuable thing in life, is to take the time to really learn to be at ease with yourself. You know, it doesn't mean that you have to be content with where you are and to never want anything. There's like this anecdote, I keep coming back to it in my mind. There are two. First is, when we see that our hair is scruffy and we look in the mirror, do we try to comb the mirror or do we try to comb our own head? I think that's step one.
Mirror.
Step number one, you know, to distinguish between what is self and what is world. But step two, it's this anecdote of a public speaker who is speaking, da-da-da-da-da, and then he stops mid-sentence, and then he looks at a woman, and he says, I'm sorry, everybody, I just have to take a moment and address that. This is the most beautiful woman I had ever seen. And everyone's like, oh, and some people are like, what? That's kind of weird. And then, and this person next to this woman, he looks like the dumbest man I've ever seen. And everyone's like, how can he say that? And then the man, of course, looks a bit uncomfortable and stuff, and then next to him is like, and you have the bluest hair I've ever seen. And she just laughs because she has blonde hair, you know, and everyone's like, huh? And then he says, if we feel agitated or we resonate with what someone is saying about us, it's because we feel that there is truth to it. You know, if someone accused me of being the weirdest Martian they've ever met, I would think that they are ridiculous, not that I might be a strange Martian. So the idea with the anecdote is that, like, when we know ourselves and where we are in our journey, it's more difficult to be swayed out of it. And so you can get all the advice in the world, you can try to chase all the mountains, but like we see with the biggest entitled man-child of the universe, who bought a social media platform and is running it into the ground for
you really hate affection. That dude.
I mean, the results speak for themselves. You know, the moral of that story is that you can get all the success in life, and it can melt to nothing, you know? So,
well, who knows? You can't speak for him. Maybe he's like super happy with himself and he just loves his life and thinks everyone else is dumb.
That's why he spends 10 hours a day running after internet strangers and challenging Zuckerberg to a cage fight. I mean, come on.
I mean,
do we know?
His children have disowned him. Let's not make this an anti-Musk rant, but don't try to play the devil's advocate and tell me that man is happy.
But honestly, who I don't knows? Care because that's his life.
Yeah.
I don't care if he is happy or not. That's his issue. And I would like to more focus on my life and the people around me.
Exactly. But that's the point. I'm not trying to say this about Musk. My point is that if you chase the world, you will never be happy. If you try and find your truth, you will always be happy regardless of what the world is looking for.
Inner Devil asks me now, are these the words of somebody who can't figure out side business or some goal that's really hard to get to, or really the truth? I'm very critical when people give slack to themselves.
But is it slack? Because you know me, I work my ass off day in, day out. But the thing is that I'm content regardless of the outcome. I do it for myself, knowing that I'm trying to be better than who I was yesterday. If the world doesn't resonate with it, I don't get upset at myself or the world. I'm like, okay, let's try something else. You know, and I think that's the difference. And to not imagine that there's some magic pill solution, there's no such thing as passive income. This is like one video put it really nicely. You know, you can invest your time to create a product or service that will then passively generate you income. But you put in a lot of effort to get to that point.
Of course.
So I think that this is the thing. We need to learn to disillusion ourselves from the things that aren't true so that we can be truly aligned with ourselves. But this is a bigger topic. I think we could have a two-hour podcast on finding your true self. But I think definitely if we talk about hard skills, soft skills, you know, let's talk about self skills as well. And I think that those are really important. And it's good to remember that the way that we speak to ourselves really determines also our health and surroundings. If we spoke to our friends the way we spoke to ourselves, would we still have friends? Be your own best friend.
Yeah, this is why I only have three.
And all three of them are here.
Yay! Well, I do agree with you, Vitaly. And I was just thinking how our topics in this podcast, when we started, were quite technical. We were really focusing on like Figma and design skills. But lately, I noticed we really like to dive into a little bit like more like softer topics, like comment what happened, talk about feelings and culture and self and stuff like that, rather than, hey, variables. Have you tried variables? Yeah.
It's good to remember that a dish can never be better than its ingredients.
Unless you put a lot of
MSG.
Mayonnaise? What?
MSG.
Monosodium glutamate.
Uh-huh. I was aiming on salad dressing, but sure. Yes, yes. All right. So learning. So it seems that Helena is diving into languages a bit and focusing on her free time, being more separate from design. Vitaly is just sucking in all the internet every day. I'm having mental struggles with what to learn next, how to find time, and why don't I have thriving online business as everyone else? it seems that we are at a good spot right now. What do you think?
Well, it sounds good. I mean, for me, I'm wondering what could we set as like goals for ourselves and that we could check in 3 months of whether or not we've gotten to where we would want to be?
Well, I'm not sure if that's like top secret or anything, but these workshops, I would like to see that moving forward somewhere, really.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds really exciting.
Note to the listeners, we are planning a little event where we want to teach people things. So stay tuned for more info on that.
It's, you know, when I saw like the planning for workshops, one thing occurred to me. It's like basically a conference. Like it has the schedule of a conference, not an old school workshop. You just chime in on this hour, do this and you're done. It's more like, you know, conference. my lungs are slowly dying off. I think we should wrap it up because I think I'm getting also a little bit of fever right now. I feel a little bit warm. And I think I started to talk shit and nonsense more than usual. Whoever is listening, thanks for still listening. And I just want to say to you two, I was checking analytics recently. We have about 250 like followers or subscribers across Spotify and Apple Music. We have most on Spotify, I believe. If we have through some other platform, wouldn't know about that, but these two are most prevalent. So yeah, imagine 250 people decided, yes, I want to hear this shit next time as well. Isn't that amazing?
Hey, it's not shit. It's like we work hard to provide this shit.
It's nice shit. With
we,
a ribbon.
We shovel well.
Yes. Our shit is prettier.
I would love to see a mind map of today's episode. All the
topics
and twists and turns we have made.
Well, I need to put something in show notes, and I usually use AI to crunch through transcription because I don't want to remember what I talked about because I usually zone out and I'm like, what just happened? I don't know what I... And I usually talk shit about something. So let's see what AI says we talked about this time. I will let it... I will let you know. Or you can just check when this episode gets released. Anywho, I really need to not talk anymore today. It's really hard. I can't wait to get better soon. And thank you for finding time and joining. And I hope next time will be better. I will be healthy and all of that. So, yeah. Thanks.
Thank you, everyone.
Thanks you for showing up like this, because that's dedication.
That's dedication.
And if anything, people should listen to this episode thanks to your dedication.
I hope so.
It was awesome. I really like that we noticed that the thing that we miss talking about is actual soft skills and more deeper topics than just the hard skills, because everybody knows the hard skills and you know what you need to do, but you just need to take the time to do them. And things like this is, we just need to talk about them and then maybe people resonate and feel like they're in the same place as well.
I got the idea for the next episode. Maybe we can talk about how to resolve conflict at work, or what are red flags, or how to deal with a coworker that's not really behaving towards you nicely. And I don't know, like some issues that happen at the workplace, like what are actually exits for you? Like what can you do as an individual?
Could you do a harassment training?
Yeah, we can have a harassment training. Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, we're done here. Thank you, listeners. See you next time. Bye.
Bye.